This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Welcome to The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. I am Igor, and we are on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. Phone lines are open, and we do have an email I see, so we can get to that in just a little bit. And, well, good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Well, we have we've had a very hot week.
Yeah.
And as is Bradford weather, we had a change of forecast, so we thought it was going to be dry
yeah.
as a bone all week. But yeah. you know what? It's been hot as heck, and it's rained every single day. So
yeah.
That's all right.
So that's how I wanted to start, you know. I apologize to all those people that I gave advice to on being hot and dry and what to do in that time, because
you didn't mislead anybody. The weather people did.
Okay, yeah, they did. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's good to know that when we do have a dry spell, we had a lot of good information last week. So
yeah.
There you go.
And you know, it just goes to show how unpredictable the weather here in Bradford can be. So you just have to be prepared for anything. So since it rained a lot, now I'm going to give you some more advice and hope this comes true. No, it should. We had a lot of rain and a lot of heavy rain. So anywhere where we had fertilized, probably, you know, our garden beds, flower, vegetable, or trees and shrubs, that we may have fertilized, probably got washed away. So usually after a couple good hard rains, we have to refertilize. So I want you to keep that in mind, you know, and don't depend on the weather, though. I hope some people didn't take my advice by not mowing their lawn through this hot, dry period, because it was not dry. So keep the mowers going. Keep your blades sharpened, either by yourself or get a professional or somebody that knows what they're doing, how to sharpen a blade, because it does matter a great deal on how you sharpen them, and it will lengthen the life of your mower a great deal, too. So other things, too. Since we had a lot of rain humidity, probably people started to see a lot of slugs.
Uh-oh.
One of the pests. That's a snail without a shell. And every year we get quite a few of them in our area. So things to look for. The holes in the leaves of your plants. That's one of the big signs that you have slugs. Of course, going out early in the morning or late in the evening, you'll see them out and about crawling around. Or if you're lucky, you get to even see their slime trails on a plant that you're wondering what's going on with all these holes in it. So some things to do. And the one I just kind of prefer is I don't put out the slug poisons, and because we do have some neighborhood dogs and cats, and that can be bad to them. But there are ways to protect the slug baits. They're a poison that destroys the slugs away from those animals. And that's is recommended, to put the slug bait on the ground in a pot or some kind of container over the top. Of course, you may have to weight it down so the wind doesn't blow it away. Those slugs will discover that, because they can smell that bait. So they go towards it. They can get under that pot. And, of course, they feed on the slug bait. And, of course, that destroys them. And once in a while, it pays to move it around. But if you have any slug bait left over, make sure you get rid of it there.
I am always amazed on just how fast they actually move
oh,
when
yeah.
you're not watching them.
Yeah.
when you're watching them, it's like, ooh, they're okay. Where do these things come from? They barely move. And then you look away, and then you look back. So they must, like, pick up and jog when we're not looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can
get around. They get around.
They can move rapidly. And we're not going to see them during the day. That's just the nature of that critter is they're only out at dark. So that's when you're going to see them, you know, at dark period. You may see a few on a real wet, cool day out and about. But they're probably coming from your lawn areas into where you have the plants. But one of my favorite ways to take care of them is to take that nice leisurely stroll around dusk or dark at night with my salt shaker. And it only takes one or two kernels of salt on a slug. And if you wait a couple minutes, you'll see it just melts away. So it's kind of, in a weird way, kind of enjoyable.
I don't know.
But it does work real well. And that small bit of salt is never going to hurt your flower beds, even over the years. You know, I've been doing it for 20, 30 years or more with that little salt shaker. And
you know, if this was a Pixar movie, you'd be like the big, giant, evil villain getting those.
It can be satisfying. especially if you do have a liking to watch it, the process. Uh-huh. You don't have to.
It's science. I know. You're a man of science. Yeah. You like to.
You sprinkle that one kernel of salt, you know, it finally gets to the animal. They start to melt. They turn different colors and shrivel away to nothing. You know, it's
really
kind
weird.
Of amazing to see.
Yeah.
So that'll help take care of the slugs, though, a couple different ways there. Other ways, you know, is just don't leave spots for them to congregate. A board laying on the ground. Of course, maybe you wanna to congregate there so that you can destroy them easy. A board, a rock laying on the ground, they're all going to gather underneath that during the time of the sun is out for protection. They just don't like sun at all. Another one to look for is ants. We're in that season now, ants. And so we have to really keep up with that because they can cause a bit of a problem all around the house, especially carpenter ants. They're the big black ants. They can get into the damp wood, and they start tunneling in there and, of course, can destroy that piece of wood.
I see ants here every now and then. You know, a few times a week, they make their way up here on the countertop. And I'm like, what the heck? What are you doing up here?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're the giant black ants. They're like a medium black.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what.
Yeah, what they're after. Well, moisture mostly, or food of any sort. You know, maybe somebody left some sugar crumbs here.
That's only everybody that works here.
Yeah. A lot of ways to get rid of them, though. And it's highly recommended. You know, there's a lot of ant poisons out there.
Yeah.
A lot of good ones. I can mention a few names. You know, a lot of people say the taro. You know, they love that. But believe me, after a period of time, ants can adjust to the poison to where it becomes food rather than a poison. So it's a good idea that you're always changing the type of ant poison that you put down. And, of course, put that down in an area that the other animals can't get to it and children can't get to it. Again, you can use a pot or a bucket, you know, to set down. They will find their way in there because, again, they can all smell that. But interesting is when you see the ants in your house, you know, and they're all kind of in a line like an army. What they're doing is that first one is putting down a pheromone on the surface, and the rest of them can follow that to wherever they're going. And most generally, it's a food source of some sort, or a water source. Of course, we haven't had to worry about that. We've had plenty of rains. They're finding plenty of water outside. But if it does get hot and dry, they may come inside, especially for the food source and the water. So they put down that pheromone. So if you really watch them for a while and follow that line, you can see where they're coming in. So then you can correct that problem. And of course, the poisons work very well.
Now, when you say they become, used to it or immune to it.
Yeah.
How often should you change it up? Like, how long does it take for them to get used to it?
A month. Okay. Once a month.
Okay.
Yep. Different types of ants react differently, but about a month you should change out the ingredients that are in that ant poison. Another thing that works very well, and this comes from my grandmother way back in the 50s, and it works today, that ants really hate citrus. They don't like citrus. So if you think they're coming in underneath your door and there's no way to correct it, lemon pledge.
Oh.
Or just a lemon, rub there. That will stop the ants. They really dislike that citrus. What I like to do, some parts are really difficult to take care of the ants, like underneath my deck.
Sure, yeah.
So once in a while, I'll throw a couple slices of lemon underneath the deck. It doesn't do any harm to anything, but that lemon scent can deter those ants and a lot of other insects too.
Wow. All right.
So that's some advice on the ants. Keep up with it because they can take over in a big hurry and multiply. So it's a good idea to whenever you see one crawling around, kind of pay attention, see if there's more, see which area it's coming from and explore that and see if you can find the ant mound or nest and take care of it.
See, that I was always wondering about that because, like, okay, do I kill this one ant because are the other ones going to come looking for it?
Yes. Yeah, usually one goes out exploring.
Should I just let it go back and tell everybody else, hey, there's nothing in here? Is that how it works or not? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I would, if I see one, I try to destroy it.
Okay.
Because that can be the explorer. He's out looking for food source.
See, I just don't want the other ones to come looking for the explorer.
Oh. Well, the explorer is going to take that information back or lay that pheromone trail down so the others can follow. But first, he's going to search out. He's the hunter.
Other ones aren't going to go look for him then?
Well, yeah. If he's put that pheromone trail down, they are going to follow him and look
before,
for him.
Well, if he didn't get a chance to do that and...
Then no.
Okay.
But chances are, if you see one, there's going to be more to follow.
Okay.
One more thing about ants, because I found this real interesting. Many years ago when I was working at Pitt and taking care of what we called the Japanese garden. It's for the Japanese exchange students there. And every year we'd put a plant in there. And I was doing some weeding in there because they're about to show up. So I had to make it look nice. And I turned over one rock, and there was a bunch of yellow ants.
Wow.
Now, they're called pineapple ants.
Oh.
They're pretty rare to see, but I have seen them a couple times since then, too. And if you do crush them, they smell like pineapples.
What?
Yeah. But I had never seen one at that time, so I took it right inside the science building looking for a scientist, and they explained to me what all was. And by the time I got back out, the black ants had attacked that yellow ant or pineapple ant nest and destroyed them all.
Wow.
Yeah. They just don't get along, those two groups.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
But I found it interesting.
Well, I'm just thinking to myself, gee, I wonder if they use those pineapple ants for flavoring and pineapple, how they always use not things as an ingredient for food to taste like things.
So just keep your eye out. Not all ants are black.
Yeah, wow. I knew, of course, red ants, fire ants and things like that. I've seen those and brown ants.
Yeah.
Pineapple ants.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Yeah. Again, like I said, they never seem to have a big colony, the ones that I've seen, but they are fascinating, and ants don't like them.
I always think it's weird and interesting how they find their way anywhere. like any animal, really. Yeah. Like, you know, if you have a little swamp area, how do turtles find that so easily, you know? Where was a turtle just randomly walking down the road and say, hey, look at this over
yeah.
here?
Yeah, they can smell. Smell things that we can't.
That's amazing. Yeah. And so, like, yeah, those pineapple ants, if they're so rare, where the heck do they come from? How'd they get there?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I never, you know? Never researched it real deep, but again, they pretty doggone fascinating.
Make them pilgrimage from like 75 miles away, you know, this like one ant and has one of those hobo sacks, you know, on the side on a stick in his journey.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have our phone lines open. If you have a question for Bob, well, please give us a call, 814-368-9372. Our email address is garden@wesb.com. And I do have an email. Can we get to that in just a little bit here? We're going to take a 30-second break and thank Worth W. Smith.
Good.
And we do have an email question, so we'll get to that next right here on The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
Is your lawn looking a little brown and ragged? They have what you need at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find many options in the line of garden hoses, sprinkler heads, and fertilizers to turn that lawn back to the lush green carpet that we all love. But why stop there when you see the variety of decorative stone pavers, mulch, railroad ties, and landscape timbers? Let their staff at Worth W. Smith help you turn your backyard into the oasis you're looking for. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show, B107.5 FM. Again, phones are open, 814-368-9372. And the message we just heard from Worth W. Smith talking about lawn.
Yeah.
And make your lawn look nice. It's not brown, mine, but
right.
I have patches of just dirt. It's like grass, dirt, grass, dirt. And the dogs really did a job right there.
Okay.
I think they poisoned the grass with their...
Yeah, with their urine.
Going to the bathroom and stuff. So the grass is long gone. But somebody told me that lime would help with that. Is that true?
No.
Okay.
It's gypsum.
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 Write that down. Yeah. Gypsum.
That counteracts the acid in a pet's urine. Gypsum.
Yeah. Well, they were saying that that lime would help soften up the ground. And I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I wanted to ask you. To, you know, if it's like really compacted down hard, and would that help with the aeration kind of?
Again, the gypsum.
Yeah,
does that
too. Okay.
Does it pushes, because of the ions, it pushes soil particles apart. So it does loosen the soil, not lime.
What does lime do?
Lime changes the pH of a soil, whether it's acidic soil or alkaline soil. Lime is very alkaline. But if you have acidic soil and don't want acidic soil, then lime can raise the pH so it's more alkaline.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. I have an email here for you. Well, I guess it's your email. You have an email.
Okay.
Okay. Diane writes in, garden@wesb.com. What's that word?
A euonymus.
Euonymus.
Yeah, euonymus.
Wow. Okay. She has a euonymus. But she doesn't know the variety. She says it gets mixed red and pink leaves in the fall.
Okay.
I'm not sure why it's dropping leaves that have white with green veining and partial broken branches. And I don't see any birds in the bush. And I've used your test for insects with the white paper.
Okay.
Okay. And it remains free of any black specks.
Okay.
The bush has vibrant green leaves and is full and only has a few leaves with holes in them.
Okay.
It's over 30 years old.
Ah.
Could that be a problem, she's wondering.
No, they can live for way past 30 years. And the dropping of leaves, as long as it's only, let's say, one-third or less of the total leaf cover is dropping, that's normal. As a plant grows, produces a leaf, the leaf eventually becomes useless to the plant for a lot of different reasons. So it drops off. So that's common. First of all, the plant you have is what we call the dogwood shrub or euonymus. Yeah, dogwood. No, not dogwood. I'm sorry, burning bush. That's why it turns that red or pink. Depending on how much sun. The more sun, the more red it's going to be. The more shade, the pinker it's going to be. So that's what you have is a burning bush. And if you look at the stem, you'll see the stems are not round. They're kind of squared off a bit. And that's a good sign of the euonymus or burning bush. So some of the branches coming off, the burning bush produces a lot of leaves and it produces a lot of branches. So sometimes those branches, especially inside the shrub, are not getting enough sunlight. So again, the plant is just shedding them because they're not getting enough use out of them and they're not viable anymore. So the plant's just shedding them off. So that's it. Now they will produce a fruit. That fruit can get carried by birds, and that fruit has a seed in it, and that seed can start to grow in other areas. Now, if you don't want it in other areas, and I recommend that you don't let it escape, you know, destroy those little seedlings as soon as you start seeing them pop up. You know, don't let them grow too, because it can become undesirable or
Invasive
plant, yeah. So just be careful of that. I like the shrub myself, and I keep track if I start to see any babies growing in the forest behind me, I'll get rid of them.
Okay. So what's the advice here? Just let it go? This is a normal...
Yeah, it sounds like it's all normal to me, as long as she's still got a good leaf cover that you can't really see clearly through the shrub. If you can see a little bit, that's all right. But as long as it isn't getting real bare, it's a good, healthy shrub.
Great. Okay. And then she says, thank you for your advice.
Oh, you're welcome.
And she says it's been part of her Saturday mornings. It's been great having you on the Saturday mornings and listening and learning.
Oh, beautiful.
From the
Thanks.
Show. God bless you.
So, yeah, Diane. Burning bush, they're called.
All right. Great. Well, thanks for the question there, garden@wesb.com. Phone lines are open. We have a few minutes left in the show, about 4 minutes.
Yep.
So 814-368-9372.
I got to say a little bit more about the burning bush. A long time ago, it's a popular plant in Bradford. A long time ago, before they started hybridizing them, they grew to very large shrubs, almost 20 feet tall, sometimes 20 feet tall.
Wow.
Now, they've been bred to be more compact. And, of course, that's how they got their name. They're Euonymus altus compacta, and which means
wow. Yeah,
which means they're a dwarf burning bush now.
Okay.
But they still can reach 10 foot tall over time. But they take the pruning. You can prune them whenever you want, wherever you want. They just come right back real easily.
What was that?
Euonymus altus compacta.
Ah, my old fraternity.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, wow. Okay, great.
One more thing. It's still time to plant your vegetable garden. I've said over the past, you know, how one of my best gardens, because of how things happen, I never got a chance to put it in till July 4th. And it became one of my best gardens ever.
So not too late.
And if you don't believe me, ask Randy down at the hardware store, Worth W. Smith, because he's done the same thing. And he'll tell you right away, his best garden ever was the year he planted it, July 4th.
Wow. Interesting. Well, maybe there's a method to the mayhem there, or the madness. They're patriotic gardens.
So don't feel you miss that opportunity. There's still plant material available. I just checked this morning. Plenty of plants, vegetable plants left. Still time to put them in the ground. The soil's nice and warm.
Yeah, it is.
they're gonna grow like weeds.
Yeah, oh, great. Well, hopefully the weeds don't grow like the garden.
Yeah.
So my neighbor's garden is really taken off.
He
does containers.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, within the last week, really, they just like shot up. He has peppers, all kinds of different varieties of peppers and tomatoes and things and cherry tomatoes. And those things got tall real quick.
Yeah.
So
most of the vegetables are a tropical plant. They love this heat that we've had.
Yeah.
And of course, so that supercharges them.
I was wondering about that. Like, well, maybe they really, really like the humidity and the heat and the daily thunderstorms.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
So, yeah, great. Well, I guess we're all out of time.
Okay.
All right. So, thanks for the advice. Talked about how to get rid of the slugs and the ants and answered that Diane's question.
Burning bush.
Burning bush. And it's a normal plant. So, don't worry about some couple broken branches or missing leaves here and there. It's all part of the deal.
It is.
Okay. And we'll talk to you next week. It's The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith, B107.5 FM, and online on demand, WESB.com.